Good afternoon, everybody. I sincerely hope this doesn't go until the evening. I don't think it will. So I wanted to share with you that, as my mother tells me, that since the day I was born, I've always enjoyed eating. And I can affirm to you all today that this holds true today. And eating and preparing food are activities that I personally greatly enjoy and probably always will. I consider it a true gift from God that we as human beings must sustain our lives with food multiple times throughout the course of the day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and the snacks in between are each little moments of happiness for me, enjoying taste and scents while nourishing my body. I think that one of the best parts about eating and cooking is that they're regular events. Every meal is a creative opportunity, constructing a set of flavors by combining different ingredients and completing the composition by manipulating the elements of heat and time is a wonderful mixture of art and science and intuition. That's just the cooking part. The best part is actually enjoying the meal for its intended purpose, to eat every day, multiple times every day. As I mentioned, I count this a real blessing from God that food and eating is like this. He could very well have created man in such a way that sustaining our lives doesn't require eating the way we do. Or even worse, he could have created us in such a way that food wasn't enjoyable. All food could be bitter or even tasteless, but he didn't, and I'm very thankful for it. And the wise Solomon backs me up in Ecclesiastes when he writes, "I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy all the good of his labor. It is the gift of God." And that's Ecclesiastes 3, 12, and 13. And truly, a gift from God it is. Now, what I'd like to do today is take a look at a couple of aspects related to food and eating and examine them in relationship to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I'm not pulling this relationship out of thin air either. In fact, I look at this relationship for a very specific reason. In the Bible, Jesus teaches us something very interesting, and understanding how food and eating work is a critical piece in completing our knowledge of his sacrifice. So I'll start today in John 6, and I'll start in verse 48, John 6, 48. And this set of scriptures is exactly what I'm talking about. Starting in verse 48, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore quarreled amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Verse 54, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now, Jesus says quite a bit here, and he makes it perfectly clear that our eternal life relies on eating his flesh we sacrifice. Now we understand that Jesus is not telling the people around him to start feasting upon his arms and legs. In support of the idea that Christ is using a metaphor with the language about eating, there's a hint in the phrase when he says, "I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Unquote. Those listening were alive, most certainly, yet Jesus states that there is no life in them if they do not eat the flesh and drink his blood. It's clear that Jesus Christ is talking about life and food in a context different from the regular old corporeal sense of food and eating that we might talk casually about. However, some of Christ's disciples ceased to follow him after they heard these comments. They got really confused. And yet, there's quite a bit of confusion about this teaching even today. These statements are a little perplexing if you don't take the time to think about them. So, in order to understand this teaching a little bit more, I thought I'd start with examining the act of eating. If we were to agree upon a definition of eating, I think we'd all agree that eating is a means of nourishing our bodies by the process of internalizing food, which is necessary for the sustenance of our life. By looking at the aspects of eating, internalization, and sustaining life, I think we can learn a little bit more about how to understand Jesus' teaching about eating his flesh to gain eternal life. The concept of using the verb to eat to mean internalizing is pretty common. To illustrate, if I told you that I once gave a sermonette where all those in attendance ate me up, you wouldn't think they came out with knives and forks. You would understand this to mean that the audience enthusiastically listened to every word I said, actively believed it all, and professed its truth. Now, there are other scriptures in the Bible which use this verb in this sense, and I'll cite a couple for you. Speaking of wicked people, in Proverbs 4:17, we read, "For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." So again, we have a similar metaphor of eating, which is not literal. And in Proverbs 31:27, speaking of the virtuous wife, we read, "She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." So again, it's a metaphor of eating that is not to be taken literally. From these examples, we can see that the verb to eat can have the meaning of living a certain way from the very core of our existence. They say that you are what you eat, and this holds true when we talk in these symbolic terms as well. Eating the bread of wickedness makes one wicked. Eating the bread of idleness makes one idle. And in application of what Christ has taught us, eating the living bread of Jesus Christ's fleshly sacrifice makes one live forever. We can easily see that Jesus is speaking with the metaphor here. Eating means to and giving us the gift of eternal life. This gift is ours for the taking, but there are some conditions. So now I'll ask you to turn to John 3, and I'll start reading in verse 15. John 3, starting in verse 15, we read, "Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And I'll stop there. This set of scriptures is easily the most famous and the most cited set of scriptures in the Bible because it so succinctly declares through the belief in Christ, we have the gift of eternal life. It's important to understand, however, that belief is much more than merely giving lip service to Christ's sacrifice. As he explained to his listeners, we must internalize it. We must eat it in and drink it up if we really wish to have any part of eternal life. This means being followers of Jesus, real Christians, actively nourishing and sustaining ourselves with the way of life that Jesus provides for us. Now, I think the most fascinating thing about Jesus' teaching about eating his flesh and drinking his blood to gain eternal life is that it's only half of a metaphor. As I've covered, to eat and drink really means to take in and internalize, bringing Christ's sacrifice into our lives in such a way that it fuels our very existence. Every one of our actions needs to originate from the fact that Jesus gave his life so that ours may be spared. Faith in this and thorough obedience to his teachings is the real belief required by Jesus to partake of the gift. The internalization, however, is where the metaphor ends. The second part, the sustenance of life, is very real. If we can successfully take in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, living it every day, repeatedly, just as we eat, we sustain our eternal lives. Thinking of it this way truly reinforces the reason why Jesus takes such effort in using this set of statements about eating and drinking. This is a very appropriate way to explain it. The life we gain from nourishing ourselves with the fleshly sacrifice of Jesus is not only real, but it's eternal. Now, the last thing I want to mention is the property of food that I started this message with. Food is something that we may enjoy. If it didn't taste good, we probably would not want to eat. In like manner, the food that Jesus Christ has given us is something we need to rejoice in. The food of his fleshly sacrifice is something we should savor as we bring it into the lives we live. It's truly a gift, even more so than any food we might put into our mouths. And 1 Peter, I'll ask you to turn there. 1 Peter in chapter 1 explains a little bit about this rejoicing. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, once again, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, with Passover quickly approaching, we need to actively consider and understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And as we just read, this also is something we need to rejoice in. The Bible teaches us that we must discern the body of Jesus Christ if we want to be forgiven for our sins and gain eternal life. One way to truly discern or truly see for what it is, the body of Christ, is to eat it in, to drink it up, fuel our lives with the sacrifice he gave, and rejoice in the fact that this will sustain our eternal life.